podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podomatic, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So today I have back with me Mark Berman, Editor-in-Chief of Programming Insider. We're going to discuss what TV shows we are excited about in 2018. It's really going to be early 2018 because there are so many shows that we could never discuss the whole year in a single episode. But Mark is fresh off TV Critics Association Winter Press Tour, and we both just got back from Nappy in Miami, so we've gotten some good previews of what's coming up. So hello, Mark. Welcome back.
Hello, Paige. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing very well, thanks.
All right, so we're going to sort of go back and forth on picks, so why don't you kick it off?
Well, I have to go with the one pick, which I don't think you're going to pick, but I'm really excited about, and it's not going to win an Emmy, but I'm still going to watch it, and it's called Celebrity Big Brother, not winning an Emmy. Really excited.
Oh, I thought this was going to be the Roseanne pick, which I'm now ruining.
No, that's right.
That's coming up later.
No, Roseanne could win an Emmy, but no, Celebrity Big Brother, I don't know who's going to be competing. There's rumors out there, you know, Mackenzie Phillips could be one of them. I'm a huge Big Brother fan. I watch it every summer. My only complaint is this is a very short window. It starts on February 7th, and I think it's only for 2 weeks. So should be interesting opposite the Olympics to see Big Brother, but I am going to watch it. I'm excited about that.
You're going to watch Celebrity Big Brother, but you're not going to watch the Olympics.
No, I'll watch the Olympics too, but if I had to choose Celebrity Big Brother over the Olympics, I've got to go with those folks in the house. I just find it very appealing. It's so bad, it's good, and I really like it. So I'm curious to see who's going to be sitting in there. You know,
so it's going to be on CBS or it's going to be on All Access or both?
No, it's going to be on CBS, and it's going to be running like five nights a week. Which is, Listen, you got to give them credit. It's very smart counter programming opposite the Olympics. It doesn't cost a lot. It fills up a lot of hours, and there's one celebrity in particular that I think would be so ideal for this, sort of as a comeback. If I was Kathy Griffin, I'd be on the phone with my manager screaming, get me on Celebrity Big Brother. That's what I would do if I was her.
I wonder if she's a liability, though, after her whole political thing. Like, I wonder if CBS we're not touching her with a 10-foot pole.
I don't think they will touch her, but I think if I was her agent, I'd be pitching her. No, I don't think they're going to go near her. I think they're going to be afraid, but you know, they'll have the usual D-listers sitting there looking for their, you know, to get 15 more minutes of fame. But, you know, listen, this is not a quality show. It's not brilliant. It's kind of stupid, actually. And I just find it I love it. I just love Big Brother. It's a great show.
See, I like that, though, about you, because, like, that's the kind of show I will never watch. So it's good to have you on and talk about, you know, stuff that's just not in my wheelhouse. I think that's helpful.
I'm also not ashamed to admit it. A lot of people, a lot of critics out there, you know, oh, I watch this, I watch that. It's scripted. It wins Emmys. It wins Golden Globes. I mean, I'm not embarrassed. I like Big Brother. I'm not in the demo, but I'm still going to watch it. Okay? I like it.
I'm not embarrassed, but I don't watch it. So, okay. So Celebrity Big Brother, that's coming up in February. All right. So I'm going to go a totally different route. And my pick is Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story.
Shortly before 9 a.m., fashion designer Gianni Versace was shot on the steps of his villa.
Pronounced Versace.
Singer?
That's Liberace.
He was a creator. He was a genius. Everything you see around us, this house, this company, was his life. I will not allow that man, that nobody, to kill my brother twice.
This show premiered last Wednesday on the 17th. Actually, I haven't watched it yet. I'm definitely going to. I just was traveling, so I didn't get to it yet. It's the second entry in Ryan Murphy's American Crime Story franchise. The first, of course, was The People versus O.J. Simpson, which was a surprise hit in 2016, turned Sterling K. Brown into a star before This Is Us premiered, although he's really rolling on that This Is Us stuff, having won a SAG award last night, following up his Emmy and Golden Globe. The cast of Gianni Versace includes Edgar Ramirez as Gianni Versace, Darren Criss, who I hear is amazing, as Andrew Cunanan, Ricky Martin as Gianni's boyfriend, Antonio D'Amico, and Penelope Cruz as Donatella Versace. And honestly, I think, I don't know if I would be as interested in this if it wasn't for how much I was so surprised by how good OJ was. I'm sure I've said this before. So I feel like I'm really interested to see what Murphy and his team do with the story and what this cast does. And is this something that you're going to check out?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I'm same as you. I didn't get to see it because I was at Nappy. I didn't get to see a preview. I did DVR it. I actually just last night or yesterday afternoon, my wife was watching, and I'm like, why are you watching without me? So I have to catch up with it. But, you know, I make a point, you know, Ryan Murphy just knows how to tell a story, and he just does good shows, and I am very interested in it. I was very into OJ, and I'm absolutely going to check it out. I'm really excited about it. As a matter of fact, if I have the time, I'm going to watch it tonight. But I've heard only good things about it. I haven't seen ratings yet, but I've only heard good things about it.
Okay, give me your next one.
You know what show I'm interested in? It's called Counterpart. It's airing on Stars. Mm-hmm. It's starting, actually, it started last night, and I have not seen it yet. However, it just looks really interesting. It's an espionage thriller. J.K. Simmons, who won an Oscar, is playing two roles, a guy named Howard Silk, and then a lookalike that's working for like a secret agency. And it just sounds really interesting. And traditionally, I don't normally get into shows like this. But again, Stars is one of those places that I kind of like to keep an eye on. And this just looks really interesting. I have a DVR. I have to check it out. But I have a feeling I'm really going to like this. So I'm really into that one. So Counterpart is my next pick.
So this one's funny because I feel like this is how I know that the so-called platinum age of TV has reached critical consciousness, because my mother told me that she and my dad were looking forward to watching Counterpart on Stars. And I was like, what is happening? Not that they don't know about premium TV, but I feel like that one is a little obscure. So I think, though, because she loves Outlander, so I bet they've seen promos for it.
Yeah, it should be, you know, it just looks like a really good show to me. You know, it's so different now because, you know, way back when you'd watch a show, you'd have a 22-episode season. You don't get that anymore when you watch these shows. You know, you have 6, 7, 8 episodes, maybe 10, and the season's over. Before you blink an eye, it's over. But I just think my gut is telling me this is going to be a really good show. So I will absolutely check it out. Hopefully I'm going to like it.
Well, other than the case of Game of Thrones, I like the shorter seasons, actually. Like, I like that you can kind of, like with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which we've talked about a lot, but I think it's only 8. And I like that. Like, you can kind of get through it in a weekend. Stranger Things, same thing. You know, it's not
right.
I
like it. You know, I'm 50-50 on it. You know, a lot of us don't really have time to commit to, you know, a 22-hour season, 22 episodes. But then again, if you're really into a show and it's really good and poof, it's done.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
you
it.
You want more. Yeah.
I want more. So, but I think it's going to be good. So I'm actually very anxious about that.
The only thing about also the 22 episode season is, let's say you want to get into a show and you're 3 years out of it. Like, I mean, my husband and I watched West Wing over again recently. And I mean, it's 22 episodes and it takes you forever to watch that show. It's like, it's 70 hours of TV. It's crazy.
It's a lot of TV.
Probably more than that, actually. So, okay. Next up, I'm going to actually lump 3 in a row and kind of cheat, but there's a reason. So these 3 are all next seasons, which is why I'm lumping them together. They're not new shows. So it's the final season of FX's The Americans. It's season 2 of Handmaid's Tale, which debuts in April, and season 2 of FX's Atlanta, which is called Atlanta Robin Season, and that premieres in March. So all of these shows are sort of what Mark was referring to earlier. They're sort of critical darlings, poster children for the platinum age of TV. The Americans is a show I was super in on very early, and I love Matthew Reese and Carrie's name I'm forgetting right now. But the cast is incredible, and the last season of it was very slow, season 6. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they wrap it up and how, if it's exciting. And I feel like Carrie Russell is her name. I feel like with the Americans, like, I just cannot imagine that show ends happily. So I'm sort of interested to see, like, what fresh hell they put those characters through. So that's that show. Handmaid's Tale, I mean, I sort of feel like that's going to be on everybody's list. The interesting thing about that show is it's off book because Margaret Atwood only wrote the one book and she didn't tell you what happened after. So now it's all from the creator's imaginations. In season 2, and this is not a spoiler because it's been made well known, Offred, played by Elizabeth Moss, is pregnant and she's sort of on the run. So that's going to be interesting to see where they go. And then Atlanta Robin season, I think I'm just interested in because Donald Glover is such a hot property right now and such a interesting creative person. Like with and with his music with Childish Gambino, he's just sort of all over the place. So I'm kind of want to see what's going to come out of his head for this new season. So any of those on your list?
Oh, without a doubt, I'm totally going to watch The Handmaid's Tale. I think that's a great show. Really excited about it. I never got into The Americans. You know, it's interesting. What I always do when I watch, you know, I try to watch every show twice, at least twice, to get a feel of it.
Whoa.
Not that I don't think it's a good show. That's a lot of TV. But not that I don't think it's a good show, because I do think it's a good show. But call me crazy, but Kerry Russell is always still Felicity to me. I still see her as Felicity, and which was the WB show. And I just never got into it. But I'm absolutely going to watch The Handmaid's Tale. Really excited about that.
I think The Americans is actually kind of divisive. Like, I've heard people that absolutely love it, and I've heard people who are like, I just could not get into it. It was too slow. So
right.
I think it's – I did not watch Felicity, so I can get over that with Kerry Russell. But I get why that's hard for people. I think sometimes if I'm into a cast or a story, the slow part of it doesn't bother me so much. Like, I can get – because there's a lot of shows like The Wire, people complain about that. Or even Mad Men, too slow. And I think – if the show is good, I'll hang in.
Yeah, I never got into it. You know, it's one of those shows, I've always said it's one of those shows that if I had the time, I would sit down, I'd go back to season one and start and just go through it. But I just don't think that's going to happen. at least not now.
Yeah, but, well, that's the same thing, is you'd have to catch up through six seasons, which is daunting.
It is daunting. It's a lot of TV. But Handmaid's Tale, love the show. She was at the press tour. They had a session on it.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was a good session, but I'll tell you, there's one show, I did a piece for you on this, and it's not a show that I really paid much attention to. It's actually not a series, it's a series of specials, but I sat in a room at the press tour, and I just thought these two people were so funny. It's called Two Dope Queens. It's with mm-hmm. Phoebe Robinson and Jessica Williams, excuse me. Mm-hmm. It's on HBO. And I am totally looking forward to that. I think it's starting on February 2nd. And I think it's like five specials or maybe six specials. But these two women had the audience. I mean, it was the liveliest session at the press tour. And I'm totally going to watch this. I'm totally going to get into this. And again, it wasn't something that was on my radar until I got to the press tour, went to the session, because you know when HBO was at the press tour, that's always a big deal. There's always something that there's something that's going to be good, and that to me is the pick. Two Dope Queens, that I'm going to watch at least.
So Two Dope Queens, just to give some more info, I don't know if people have watched. Jessica Williams was on The Daily Show with when Jon Stewart was on. I think she left when everybody else left before Trevor Noah came on. And then they have a podcast, Two Dope Queens, that HBO is adapting this from. And it's starting off with four specials. So.
Oh, it's four. Okay. Then it's only four. But I'm totally looking forward to it, without a doubt.
So they were, and you thought that, yeah, it starts Friday, February 2nd at 9:30. And they were funny at tour, because I think it's hard to be funny at tour.
You know what? They broke the barrier there. They had everyone rolling. Like, they just they lit up the room. It was fun. You know, it's interesting how they lit up the room, and Roseanne almost, I thought she was going to pick up and leave the room. She just seemed to get so agitated.
She get hammered about the Trump stuff, Roseanne?
Yeah, they basically, I mean, they kept asking her question. Well, you know, the thing about the new, the revival of Roseanne is she and, you know, the characters Roseanne and Dan are Trump supporters, and she in real life is a serious Trump supporter, and she got a lot of questions about that, and she didn't want to answer it, and she looked very agitated, and I thought at some point she was going to pick up and leave. She didn't, thankfully, but I am totally excited about Roseanne. I just can't wait to see it. I watched the original. I watched all the episodes, all 221 episodes. I think that's how many there were of the nine seasons. Even the last season when they won the lottery, and it was like, are you kidding me? But I just think it was a brilliant show. I think it's going to do very well for ABC. Can't wait for it to come back.
You watching another game?
You know, when I played football, if you got a concussion, you went right back in the game. It didn't hurt any of us. There's no long-term damage.
Dan, you're watching basketball.
Oh. She's sort of famously thorny on panels, right?
Well, she is? Roseanne?
Yeah.
Well, she's not exactly, you know, you could slap her on the back and have a good laugh. I mean, she just doesn't want to be there. She just didn't want to be in that room talking to people. It was obvious. And poor John Goodman was like sitting next to her. They brought out the old, you know, the couch that was on the set, and they're sitting there and she's there. He's in the middle. You have Roseanne on one side, Laurie Metcalf on the other, and, you know, the rest of the cast. But I just am excited to see them back. I think it's a good idea. I'm not normally a fan of revivals. We talked about this.
Yes, you are.
Well, which leads me to another thing, which I won't get into, but I actually had dinner with Shelley Morrison, who played Rosario from Will and Grace when I was out there. And we talked about why she didn't come back, and she just didn't want to do it anymore. But I'm really excited about Roseanne. Are you going to watch it?
No.
I
watched no Roseanne, and I think Roseanne was on the air when I was in college, and I didn't even have a television, so I was not tuned into it, pun intended. But you know what I think is interesting about Roseanne is that cast. I mean, so there's Roseanne, that's her, but then you've got John Goodman, who's gone on to amazing things, Laurie Metcalf, yes, who's going to be nominated for an Oscar and might win.
Amazing. Yeah.
And then Johnny Galecki, who has gone on to, you know, Big Bang, obviously, and is producing, you know, they've all gone on to these big careers. So I think that's interesting, and that they've been able to get all those people back together, because I think it's not like those people aren't working.
No, I just think, you know what? I always felt that Roseanne did not get the attention it deserved. I mean, look, it got attention, but I just think it was a groundbreaking comedy. It really showed a family, you know, living like families normally live, you know, and it just, I don't think it ever got the attention it deserved. And the fact that it's coming back again, I'm always a little apprehensive when I hear a show's coming back. Now, you know, the latest show to come back now, there's a new pilot in the works for Party of Five for Freeform, which I don't think that's a good idea. But there's just something about seeing them all together. And according to Roseanne, you know, look, they ordered, there's 9 episodes, but she has every intention of continuing if the original 9 go well. And we all know it's going to get a lot of sampling. It's going to totally get sampled. And I think once it settles in, it's going to be better than anything ABC has now, including Modern Family in the ratings. So I think Roseanne is going to be around. I think we're going to get a number of seasons.
Yeah, it'll get huge sampling. But I think, you know, Will and Grace, you've seen that really tail off after the initial sampling. Like the recent ratings have been pretty low.
Yeah, but it's still better than what NBC has for any comedy. It's still an improvement, and it builds from the lead-in. But yeah, it's not great, but still, you know, I'm excited about Roseanne, and I can't wait till March.
Okay. All right, so my next pick is also going to come off of FX, which is a little... I'm not being very egalitarian about my picks, but this is Trust.
Hey, it's Paul.
I'm at my granddad's place. Wait.
Paul?
He has a payphone.
Patricius. My grandson, John Paul Getty III.
He's got a big house. Lots of women. Which one of you is Paul's girlfriend?
Which stars Donald Sutherland as J. Paul Getty. And it's interesting because the show's coming off of All the Money in the World, which is the show that Kevin Spacey was in, and he was replaced by Christopher Plummer. And it's a Ridley Scott movie, which tells, I think, pretty much the same story, but this is like kind of a different version of it. It also stars Brendan Fraser and Hilary Swank, and it comes from Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy. And they have, you know, an incredible resume between them with Little Miss Sunshine. And they're not both on this, but they've worked together quite a bit. But so films like Slumdog Millionaire and Trainspotting, and Simon Beaufoy also wrote The Full Monty and Battle of the Sexes. So the trailer looks incredible. And this premieres March 25th. So I'll probably be watching this while you're watching Roseanne.
That's very possible. That's very possible. It sounds interesting, though. It definitely sounds interesting.
Were you at FX at press tour? I think you weren't.
No, I missed. I got to press tour the day after FX, so I missed FX, which I always like going to. But, you know, yeah. they always give you the whole update on the number of original series that are airing. You know, a couple of years ago, it was 350. Then it was 400, 450, 500. I think at some point it's got to start going down. You know
well,
what show
what...
I'm really excited?
Wait, that's what Landgraf said, though, last year. He thought it was going to start going down. And then this year, I think it was like 520.
I know. You know, at some point, it has to go. I don't know. First of all, I don't know who's keeping track of this. Whoever is doing that at FX must have circles under his or her eyes because I don't know how you track all these shows. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. But. You know what I'm really excited about, and it's starting this Wednesday, and it's on the rebranded Paramount Network, which was Spike TV, which Waco. Mm-hmm. That's the drama coming. It's a 6-part miniseries, and it talks about the 51-day standoff in 1993 with the FBI and David Koresh, and I just think that's going to be intense to watch. And I'm excited about that. You know what? It's funny. I went to the session and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the actors. Taylor Kitsch plays David Koresh.
Right.
But there was
which is so
Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, which is interesting. You know, Macaulay Culkin, his brother was there. And I kept thinking, oh, that's Kieran Culkin. But it wasn't Kieran. It's Rory Culkin. He's in the miniseries, and I just think it looks really intense. It wasn't the kind of panel where people were laughing and having a grand old time. It was a serious panel about, you know, I remember this like it was yesterday. So I think it's interesting, you know, to have this on Paramount Network. I'm not really totally sure what their brand identity is, but I don't really know, but I mean, if this is an example of the direction they're trying to go in, it's pretty serious. So I'm absolutely going to watch it this week.
I mean, I think they're going general network because they also have Heathers coming up, which doesn't look anything like Waco. And then they also have Yellowstone with Kevin Costner. So it's pretty diverse. But actually right now, I think it's sort of, you know, pilot pickups from other networks that Paramount is taking.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Heathers, I believe, was originally planned for TV Land.
Yeah.
And, you know, they announced they're going to rebrand Spike TV and they moved Heathers over there. The Heathers panel was actually pretty, I thought that was a pretty funny panel. I mean, it was, you know, when you go to these panels and you sit there and you think, because I truly like the press tour. I just like being there. I like sitting in the room. I just like the whole experience of it. And then there are certain panels that stand out. And that was a good panel. That's, you know, that was a good enough panel that I'm going to absolutely sample Heathers. Will I watch it every week? Probably not. But I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, that show comes, they haven't actually announced a date yet, I don't think. They're just saying spring. So.
Right.
They did just put out a trailer for it, though, that we posted on Brief, that it did look pretty interesting. I was not a big, like, Heathers fan, as you know, back in high school. So it's not, it is my era, but it's not, that movie in particular didn't really do it for me. But the remake looks kind of interesting. I agree. And then Waco, the casting there is incredible. It's also Michael Shannon. And Taylor Kitsch looks like a definite Emmy nominee for that because he's so out of type. I just don't know if I want to really relive that story. So I don't know that if I'm in on that.
Well, listen, if they get an Emmy nomination out of that, then they really chose the right vehicle because they, you know, for them to get an Emmy nomination, you know, rebranded like that, but it's so hard to get attention with so many shows vying for, you know, attention. It's very hard to get it. But I just thought the panel was interesting. It's a story that I've always been interested in. I remember it, you know, again, like it was yesterday when this happened. And amazingly, that was 25 years ago. It's crazy, but
crazy.
I'm going to check it out. I definitely am going to watch it.
So to veer for one second, I think, you know, it's hard to get attention because there's so many shows. But then the flip side is, you know, we just saw the PGA and the SAG Awards this weekend, and you still really saw basically the same people getting honored. You saw, I mean, This Is Us cast one, which hasn't won, but This Is Us has been consistently nominated. Sterling K. Brown won, Nicole Kidman won, Alexander Skarsgård won, you know, Claire Foy won, who didn't win the Golden Globe, but I mean, she's been honored before. I just think even though there are so many shows and there's so much to watch, when it gets to award season, it's getting to the point where you're like, it's the same five shows or something.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus got, you know,
yeah,
one.
Indeed,
and,
yeah.
You know, she's, I mean, she's won how many Emmys for that role? I think six.
Six, yeah.
So it's pretty, you know, she, yeah. She, so they do tend to award the same people over and over again. There was nothing that came out of the SAG Awards that was surprising. And we talked about Sterling K. Brown. I think he gives a wonderful performance, but I just don't see, I don't get all the awards. I, again, excellent performance, great character, one of my favorite shows, but I don't understand why he's singled out and the other cast members aren't. But then
yeah.
again, I'm not voting. I mean, I'm not, I am for the TCA Awards, but I didn't vote for that. But good for him. You know, he won again last night, so. And I'm excited, you know, obviously, look, I'm a huge This Is Us fan, so I'm waiting for the episode after the Super Bowl to find out what finally happened to Jack. I mean, you know, my God, tell us already what happened.
Okay, so I'm going to move on. So my next two picks are both broadcast shows. So one is NBC's Rise, which premieres Tuesday, March 13th, and the other is NBC's Good Girls, which premieres February 26th. So Rise, to me, frankly, looks like almost a straight reboot of Fame, but I loved Fame, so I'm psyched for that. And it also comes from Jason Kadams, who has produced such amazing shows as Parenthood and Friday Night Lights, as well as Hamilton producer Jeffrey Seller. It stars How I Met Your Mother's Josh Radnor. So this show, I think, could either be like spectacular or it could go the way of Smash, so unclear, but I'm going to check that one out. And then Good Girls has an incredible cast. It's Mad Men's Christina Hendricks, Parenthood's Mae Whitman, Parks and Rec's Retta, and then Twin Peaks and the Bridges' Matthew Lillard. And that show just looks like interesting and fun and different. So that's something worth checking into. Anything on the NBC side on your list?
Well, I had those two shows on my list, both of them.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm really, absolutely. And you know what excites me about Rise? I happen to be a fan of, you know, anything that's set in a school. I just like shows that are in a school setting. I'm going to date myself. I'm going to go way back. I just like, I like seeing, I was a big fan. I was a fan of Fame. But the one show that I really enjoyed, this is before your time, Paige, Room 222 on ABC, aired from 1970 to 74. I was a little kid, and I remember watching this thinking, wow, this is really ahead of its time. And then I just always gravitated to shows. I remember there was a show called Lucas Tanner. It was the Bronx Zoo with Ed Asner. I like shows like that, so I'm absolutely going to watch Rush.
Even like Welcome Back, Cotter. I'm just thinking about school shows in schools, which I agree. And even I just watched Harry Potter this weekend, which is set in a school. I think there is something very appealing about shows set in school. I agree with that, and books too.
Well, you know, it's funny. Welcome Back, Cotter. Look, let's, you know, when I Welcome Back, Cotter, to me, when that was on, I remember I'd go to school the following morning. It was on Thursday night at 8. And all the cool kids were talking about Welcome Back, Cotter, and I was watching The Waltons, which was on opposite it. So I used to pretend that I was watching Cotter, but I so I'd watch Welcome Back, Cotter in repeats. And I always thought to myself, since when are students so friendly with their teacher? But okay, yeah. It was a sitcom, and then he left the show in the last season, Gabe Kaplan, and then Marcia Straussman was the teacher. I'm like, it was a little crazy, but okay, it was a sitcom. But I'm absolutely going to check out Rise, and I am going to watch Good Girls. That I'm excited about those two shows. But
so, what seemed interesting to you about Good Girls?
I just like the whole. I just think it just seems a little atypical for NBC. It just seems a little, you know, just the premise of it. And I think for NBC, it just. I mean, it could be interesting. They unfortunately, you know, for them to get an audience to watch a comedy, that's not easy for them to do. But,
or anyone, yeah.
Or anyone, but I think it's unusual, and I'm looking forward to, you know, the characters and the stories, and you know, I'm just excited about it.
Can you,
tell us
what the premise is of Good Girls?
The premise basically is it features three actresses. It's more of like a dramedy.
Yeah,
it's like
a drama.
Like
they go on like a crime spree, right? They're like robbing.
Yeah, three women. Yeah, they go on a crime spree. It's three women. They go on a crime spree. They rob a supermarket, and then they realize that they attract the attention of the store manager, and it's not really a traditional comedy. It's not a crime drama. It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
And you know, this seems just something very unusual for NBC. You know.
But that's what they have to do. You know, you can't just, it's kind of like having just come back from Nappy. You know, what you see a lot in syndication is just same old format over and over again. And even if they quote unquote tweak the format, it's like the smallest of possible tweaks. Like Hot Bench is a court show, and they're like, but it's a panel court show. And you're like, okay, whatever. It's the same difference. It's three judges versus one. So I feel like for the broadcast networks, they have to be willing to sort of bust these formats. Otherwise, I mean, it works for CBS, granted, but if you're going to try to compete with everything else that's on the air and streaming, you're going to have to, you know, get some different bags of tricks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what the show reminds me of a little bit? Good Girls. It reminds me of Thelma and Louise, you know, plus one.
25th
you know,
year.
It's kind of got, yeah, it's got that vibe. And, you know, and I always say the way to get attention is to try to be creative. Try to think out of the box and do something, or, you know, do something unique. And this sounds like it. Will it get a large audience? No, it's not going to get a large audience. But, you know, I think for NBC, I just don't know of anything they've ever had that's been like this.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting. So I'll be checking it out.
Okay. What's next on your list?
You know what I'm excited about? And I'm going to give you this pick, but I'm going to do it completely. Non-politically. I'm not going to talk about politics, but I am very curious about our cartoon president on Showtime. And that's starting on February 11th. It comes from Stephen Colbert. He was at the press tour and we saw clips. It just looks hilarious. It looks hilarious. And I am going to check it out. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying anything about my politics, but I am curious to see that show.
Is that show like a limited series? Or do you know how many episodes it is? How does Stephen Colbert?
I think it's a regularly scheduled series. I'm thinking, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm thinking about 10 episodes. I'm not sure. It could be less, but no, it's a regular series, and he's gotten, you know, there's been a lot written about it. I know some people are not happy about it. And
yeah, of course,
you know, I mean, it depends on, you know, if you have a sense of humor, and I am just curious to see it. I think it should be funny. You know,
I feel like Colbert's like, I mean, Trump would say, right, like the media's making money on me. And I mean, Colbert is certainly turning this into quite a little, you know, cottage industry for him. The mocking of Trump, basically.
Well, it's interesting. He's pretty hot right now, Colbert. You know what? Initially, I kept thinking they were going to flip time periods. They were going to move him to 12:30 and put what his
James
Corden. Why can't I think of his. Yeah, James Corden, I thought was going to get the 11:35 hour, and ultimately Colbert suddenly became a hot entity, and now he's doing this show, this animated show, and based on the clips, and I went to an event, I'm trying to remember, that showed clips of this, and I don't remember what that was. But
well, Colbert's
so I knew
also
about
doing, he's also doing a live show right after State of the Union, and he's going to have the Pod Saves America guys on it. So I think with Colbert, like one, I mean, Trump's been a boon for Colbert, and Colbert's really leaned into it, and that's been smart. Two, he stopped trying to be the star and executive producer, and they brought on, you know, some more people to executive produce, and I think that freed him up and was helpful. I mean, I think they've made smart choices with that show, because he definitely, at the beginning, was in danger of being eclipsed by James Corden. But now I think that they've both settled in, and that, you know, that the picking of those two guys, I think Colbert had wanted that Letterman job for a long time, but the picking of those two guys was very smart by CBS, especially Corden.
I mean,
Corden came out of nowhere, sort of, and he's amazing.
I think they've got a great late night, you know, block. I think they're in very good shape with that CBS. They have other problems, but not that.
They don't have a ton of problems. I mean, from a broadcast network point of view, they don't have too many problems.
No, they do. Listen, they know what shows resonate on the network. They go in that direction. And, you know, one thing that was really fun, I didn't mention this, but we had a set visit to Young Sheldon at the press tour. And that was a lot of fun to see. You know, what's amazing about Young Sheldon, which I find so unique, you know, the actress that plays Sheldon's mother, Zoe Perry, is the daughter of Laurie Metcalf.
Right.
So it's so strange to watch The Big Bang Theory when Laurie Metcalf is on as Sheldon's mother, and then watch Young Sheldon, because Zoe Metcalf's her daughter, and she looks exactly like her. And it's just the strangest thing, but I'm very pleasantly surprised how good that show is.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a very interesting set visit. So that show is on my bucket list at this point, even more so than The Big Bang Theory. So that's a show I look forward to.
And Young Sheldon it's the first show this year that's already gotten not just a full season pickup, but a season two pickup.
Yes. Yes. You know what just got a season two pickup, which for Fox is awesome. 911. Have you watched that?
No.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's great. You know what?
It's a really good cast.
It's a great cast, and it's energetic. It's exciting. It's got backstories. I think they've got a bona fide hit on their hands, Fox. So, and that's from Ryan Murphy again.
Also from Ryan Murphy.
The hitmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right.
Amazing.
I'm gonna go back on track. So my next pick is TNT's The Alienist. This actually premieres tonight, Monday, January 22nd. It stars Dakota Fanning, Luke Evans, Daniel Brühl. It's produced by True Detective's Cary Fukunaga. He's also done movies. He's a very beautiful cinematographer. So I did a story about TNT president Kevin Reilly heading into NAPI, and he was saying that this show took them 3 years to get on the air. It's a limited series, but it looks pretty cinematic, and it's really a different kind of show for TNT, and they're putting a lot of weight against it. I think it's something they'd really like to see do well, so I'm intending to check that out. Is that on your list?
Probably not. That's the one thing I didn't get to go to with the press tour. They had a screening of it, and they had a party on the lot for that, and that's the one thing I didn't get to go to. I do want to see it because I have seen clips of it, but I just don't think it's something that would really appeal all that much to me. But I think for the network, it could probably be a good thing.
Yeah.
So
it's just big stars.
It has big stars, and I could be pleasantly surprised, but for me, I don't know if it's something that I personally would want to watch. But then again, you don't know till you try, right?
Are you not? I'm actually kind of not a crime person, but are you not a crime person or not a period person, or what is it about it that doesn't appeal to you?
I'm not necessarily a crime person. You know, I come from my philosophy in life is, life is hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm watching Waco, okay? But, I want to just be entertained. I want to forget about my troubles. I want to just sit back and, I want to enjoy happiness and people that get along, and that's not TV. So I kind of avoid not that I don't watch them. Like I just said, I'm watching 911. That's a crime drama. But I usually stay away from tales like that. But then again, I always watch American Horror Story, and certainly that's not a show that's you're going to forget about your troubles. You're going to watch it, and at the end of it, you're not going to be able to sleep. It's so crazy. But so normally I try to steer away from stuff like that, but it's not easy to do.
I don't know. It sounds like you don't really steer away from it, but.
No, I don't. I don't.
I get what you mean, though. It's like sometimes I feel like this with actually The Deuce, which you and I both loved and we talked about. But I think that was a show also. I was like, I don't know if I want to get into this. I don't know if I'm into this world. And then that was sort of surprising in that it was seedy. It was graphic. It was sort of pornographic. But for whatever reason, it was still an entertaining, very compelling place to be.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
What's next on your list?
You know what I'm excited about? And it would have been a good segue to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Well, welcome back, Cotter. I'm excited about AP Bio. That's running on NBC. It's a sitcom. And it's about a philosophy scholar who apparently he doesn't get his dream job. Instead, he gets a job at a high school teaching students that are advanced in biology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of reminiscent of... It's kind of a combination of Head of the Class, it reminds me of that. But Patton Oswalt, who I really like from The King
Love
of Queens, he's playing the principal. And again, I always gravitate to these, shows with students. And I'm really curious about it. It comes from Lorne Michaels, Seth Meyers. And I'm totally, totally going to watch that. I'm really excited about that one. And I think that's previewing on February 1st. So just next week it's coming up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's almost
wow.
February. That's crazy.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
well,
na-
January always goes so fast because you've got press tour and NAPI and maybe CES. It's just a really busy month.
It is a busy month. But February,
the other thing I was just going to say is I feel like like Patton Oswalt that's gotten to the point where I'm like, how does he have time to do all of these things? Because he's in that. I think he was in that Netflix reboot of the Mystery Science 3000. He's the voice on Goldberg's, and he's in other stuff too. Like, he's really in quite a lot.
He does do a lot. And you know what? He's in a show that I talked about this for 9 years. I kept saying the King of Queens is almost as good as Everybody Loves Raymond, and nobody gives it any attention. And I thought he was a great character, and you know, he does do a lot. So I just think I just like him. I like this idea, and I'm absolutely going to check it out. And I hope it works for NBC. I hope they get some sampling, but we'll see what happens.
That one was not on my radar at all, so that's good to know. I'll check that out too. Okay, this is my last one, is Netflix's Altered Carbon. It drops on February 2nd. It stars The Killing's Joel Kinnaman. It's kind of, I'm reading somewhere where it says it's Blade Runner meets Black Mirror, but it's basically people can transfer their consciousness from body to body. So instead of dying, you stay young and you just keep moving into different bodies. So I think that's it's something I'm sort of interested in checking out. The idea seems interesting to me.
Your body is not who you are. You shed it like a snake sheds its skin. We transfer the human consciousness between bodies to live eternal life.
How long have I been down?
250 years.
What's it called?
It's called Altered Carbon.
That does sound very interesting. I am curious about that. That's something I would check out.
Yeah.
When does it premiere?
February 2nd, so pretty soon.
Oh, pretty soon. Well, I have one last pick.
Okay.
And it's a subject that I'm always very interested in because I remember living through this. And apparently it's a documentary series on CNN. It starts on February 11th. It's called The Radical Story of Patty Hearst.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm always very fascinated about her story because I remember watching that. I remember when that was happening and I was, you know, a little kid, and I kept thinking she is involved in this now. And I don't think she's as innocent as everybody thinks. So that's something I absolutely want to check out. And of course, I'll be in and out of the Winter Olympics, as I'm sure you will be as well. I mean,
yeah.
I definitely want to check that out. You know,
both Winter and Summer Olympics for me are funny because usually the first half I'm really into and the last half I kind of fade. So in the Winter Olympics, I really like, I live in Colorado, so I ski. So I don't ski like those people, but I like all the tricksy, like snowboarding and skiing events where people are flying and flipping. And I love the moguls. So those are fun to me. And then when they get to like, I'll watch the ice skating and stuff, but it kind of slows down for me. So same with summer. Summer's like gymnastics and swimming, I'm in. Track, I'm sort of out.
Well, I always like the option of having it. And I always love the opening ceremony, the closing ceremony. And, but you know, it's nothing will ever top to me the intensity of the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding incident. I just recently watched a special on that. And of course, Tonya Harding's getting a lot of attention now.
Yeah, because of Itanya.
Because of Itanya, which is with Allison Janney, who, you know, who's getting a lot of critical attention. That's something, yeah, I definitely have to see.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I've heard it's great. Which is so surprising, right? That's another one like OJ, where you think, how is Margot Robbie starring as Tonya Harding? That makes no sense. And then how does this story, how does the story demand this retelling? And then I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's amazing. And the fact that they take this content and turn it into this whole new story that, you know, it sort of lives separately from the original history. I just think that's really interesting. So I definitely want to, Itanya is not a television show, but I definitely want to see it too.
But you know, I think what I watched it on now, I remember 2020 had a special, special edition of it. And I watched it, and look, I've seen, you know, I was there, you know, I watched it when it happened. I saw everything, you know, read the papers, watched TV. And when I watched the special and I'm revisiting this, I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then it kept getting crazier and crazier. And then the next thing you know, Tonya's competing on celebrity boxing on Fox. You know, so it's crazy. You know,
that's sort of interesting because like what you just said about the Patty Hearst story. I mean, going back to the same thing with American Crime Story, Johnny Versace, O.J. Simpson, Tonya Harding, like these stories from the 70s, the 80s, 90s, even this J. Paul Getty story. I mean, sort of watching Hollywood mine these old kind of true crime stories for new tales is, I mean, it's a trend. I think it's working relatively well. I do think it all hinges on the execution.
Listen, I could already foresee Ryan Murphy doing something with Tonya and Nancy. I mean, I could see it already. Down the road, he'll do something, you know, and I already see them winning Emmys. I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy. But yes, stuff like that, that happens. You revisit it over and over and over again, and it just doesn't get tired. Although, quite frankly, I'm tired of the O.J. Simpson thing. But then again, I think
it's settled down now. Like, we're kind of past O.J. now.
I hope so. We'll see.
All right, last thing. You go ahead.
No, I think the moral of the conversation is there's a lot of stuff to watch.
There's a lot of stuff to watch. So my last thing was American Idol coming back. Do you care or do you not?
Okay. I have a two-part answer for you. Before the press tour, I cared. Before the press tour, I said, great idea. Well, not a great idea. I said, would be good for ABC, and I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to watch. Because I stopped watching American Idol years earlier. Then I went to the press tour session, and my answer is no.
Really?
I'm not interested in it. I still think it's going to be decent for ABC. It'll certainly do better than what they've had on Sunday. But it's just not something that I am interested in watching. I just don't think these judges are going to bring anything new to the table. Are you? What do you think?
Well, I'm definitely not going to watch it. And I was out on American Idol after season two. But did you feel like the judges didn't have chemistry, or what was your issue with it?
I just don't see them. You know, they were talking about it. Like, Lionel Richie's a very nice guy. You know, they seem like nice people. I just don't see it as being, look, you know, you need Simon to call. And I just see it, you know, what happened to the show, I think, you know, in the Jennifer Lopez era, it became very nice and amicable and everybody got along. And then they brought in Mariah Carey, who was duking it out with Nicki Minaj. And I just think at this point, there's nothing about it that I just already feel bored with it. And I'm curious to see them do it. I'm going to check it out. And I think for ABC, it's certainly going to be a big improvement over what they have on Sunday. But then you have to ask yourself, is the investment they're making in this, because they're paying these stars a fortune, is the investment they're making in it going
to
be
Katy Perry, right?
It's something like that. It's insane.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to certainly help ABC, and I'm going to check it out. But I'm just not, after the panel, I just thought to myself, why are they doing this so soon? Why don't they give it more of a break? But then again, ABC needed something and they made the investment and blah, blah, blah. So I think it'll get sampled. I think it'll do okay, but it's not something that I plan on watching.
I think that you have The Voice, so there's not like everybody's longing for a singing competition show. I definitely agree they did not rest it long enough. Plus, Ryan Seacrest is back, so it probably won't feel that. And it's Fremantle producing, so it probably won't even feel that different. So I don't think it's kind of the opposite of what we were saying with Good Girls, where, you know, at least their NBC's trying something we haven't really seen on broadcast, whereas ABC's doing something we've 100% seen on broadcast that basically kept Fox in first place for 7 or 8 years. And so now it's like it's also not even branded to ABC. I just think it's kind of like, I don't know. It's just not new. It's not innovative. There's no real reason. We've seen it.
Have you watched The Four, Battle for Stardom on Fox? Have you seen that?
No. How is that?
Oh, I don't like it at all. You know, it's not for me. I just think there's too many singing competitions. And the way they described it was, this is going to change the genre completely. I'm like, no, it's not. And it hasn't.
Yeah.
And I just don't find it. I just find it a copycat. And obviously the ratings are not good and nobody's really watching it. So I think at this point, the smartest thing for anybody to do is to say to themselves, let's just rest the genre. It's the same way Daytime Court went away. And then a little show called Judge Judy popped in. And then suddenly there were 9 court shows. But I just think we need a break from all these singing competitions. I think there's too many of them, but we'll see what happens. It should be interesting.
I think the thing with Fremantle essentially is that American Idol or Pop Idol or whatever you're calling it in whatever country is such an important piece of IP for them. It generates so much revenue that without it on American air, it hurts their company as a whole. So it's almost like, you know, a corporate decision. And so if they could get on the air in America, it's worth it to them. But that said, I don't know that it's a good programming choice for ABC. I mean, maybe it's worth a shot, but it seems like a lot of money to take that shot.
Well, you know, it's interesting because ABC has had a lot of troubles on Sunday, and basically they burned through the season of Shark Tank, which made, like last night, they ran two more original episodes of Shark Tank opposite the NFC, which it got massacred.
Yeah.
And they just completely wasted the whole season of Shark Tank on Sunday, but I imagine next year they'll put it back on Friday. But I think American Idol will give them some leverage on Sunday. And certainly better than what they have. And it's going to get sampled and everyone's going to be all excited and poof. And then I think it's going to kind of settle into a modest level and we'll see how long it lasts. Well, you know, it all depends on, you know, is it worth the investment in paying these salaries? So we'll see. But
well, the other thing I think is with American Idol is, you know, you're trying to then attract a new generation of Idol viewers. But those kids don't really watch broadcast TV anymore, one. Two, you've got Katy Perry, so that's sort of in the demo, but they definitely have no idea who Lionel Richie is. So I don't know, like, casting-wise that makes sense. Like, at least on The Voice, you've got, you know, Miley Cyrus, or you've got maybe Christina Aguilera, but it's a little bit younger. So in terms of playing to that audience, I also don't know how well that works, so...
Well, Kelly Clarkson, she was at the press tour, and she's coming up on...
She's on The Voice, right?
Yes, she's coming up on The Voice. The thing about The Voice that I think is very, very smart is they keep rotating the other women, you know. They keep every season there's different women, so they have a rotation of different people on the show. I think that keeps it fresh, and I just think that's a very smart thing for The Voice. But I think at this point, you know, if I was programming a network and I was looking, you know, how can I fill a couple of hours, I think I'd kind of steer away from a singing competition. I think I would take a page from NBC, you know, look how well Ellen's Game of Games is doing and maybe, you know, use a category that's normally done well and bring a fresh perspective to it. I think that's what I would try to do. But then again, I'm not programming a network, so we don't know.
Yeah, definitely I'm not either. But I do think it demonstrates that problem we're seeing in primetime, which is a lack of formats, like a lack of those really big worldwide formats that were such a big deal, really between more like, I would say, 2000 and 2010, starting with Survivor, you know, and then and they just swept everything. And I feel like, you know, all those fires are burning low. So that's something that's... It's kind of like in syndication, they really need an Oprah. They need the next big talker. In primetime, they need that next big reality format.
I just don't know whether, you know, and the amazing thing, and I didn't mention, you know, Survivor is my favorite show, and that's coming back on February 28th. I mean, the minute I tune in, within 5 minutes, I should say, I'm completely hooked for the season. That show is, I mean, it's amazingly consistent after 17 years. And it could go another 17 years. It's amazing how that I just don't see anybody coming up with the next big thing. I mean, then again, who knows? But I just don't see it in the moment. At the moment, I don't see it coming. But, and look, and finally, look how well The Amazing Race is doing. That's a real shocker. And it's having a great season. It hasn't had ratings this high in years, and it's doing really well for CBS, filling in for Survivor. So it looks like Amazing Race will continue.
Yeah. Those shows will continue for sure. And The Bachelor. I think The Bachelor still does well, you know. Dancing with the Stars. I think those will just keep going along.
I think so. And I will still not watch The Bachelor. That's where I draw the line. I have to cut myself. I watch every other reality show, but this fake relationship stuff on TV, or maybe it isn't fake, I don't know. Not for me. I just can't watch it. It's not my cup of tea.
All right, so now we're veering off into what we are not excited about, but let's leave it there.
Okay.
Because it shows we are not excited and not going to watch. All right, Mark, we'll... Thank you as always. I always appreciate your time.
My pleasure. You have a great day.
You too. And I'll check back in with you soon.
Okay, Paige. Take care.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Crate contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.